Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the windiest night in Seattle. The wind is blowing. You know, we are in for a windstorm. I'm just praying right now I don't want to say the word, but let's just hope I stay on air tonight because it's been, like, windy and stormy and everything. But on a happy note, well, it looks like Harvey Weinstein might have COVID-19. How about that? You go to jail for rape, and then you get COVID. I mean, you know, so yes, I know I'm swimming jokes, but you know, if there wasn't, you know, I mean, in a way, a guy like that kind of deserves that, and come on, I mean, it's been a week from today, and still, you know, well, I will say that after the interview. Okay, tonight, I do not know who I'm interviewing because David and Bobby wouldn't tell me. It was like a surprise for me for November. Probably a surprise for me because I'm back living in the stay-at-home order. So I will usually give, like, the guests, you know, like the intro, but since I don't know who it is, sorry, people, I can't do that.
Well, it is Keith.
Hi.
Hi.
Wait. Okay, now I'm speechless. Okay. David.
How are you?
Okay. No, David actually did a good thing for once. Oh, my God, Keith. Oh, my God. Okay, number one, I've been after you, really, for 6 months to come on here. Okay, doing the whole COVID-19 thing, and I haven't heard the word from you, and David gets you on the show. Okay, well, Keith, you and I might have words afterwards. I don't know. I'm happy because they would not tell me. I bribed them. I tried promoting both of them. Nothing. Nothing worked this time. I tried.
Nope.
And
this has been in the works for a while, so sorry I didn't.
Well, you know,
didn't let on to the game.
You know, well, I'm glad, but you know, it's funny having you on the same night of the same day as I finally get HBO Prime on my Prime account, and one movie go on for free on the Prime account, people. Adventures in Babysitting, and Don't Tell the Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
I think Hiding Out and Jay and Silent Bob Reboot are also available on Amazon Prime. Maybe even Cheetah or Cousins. There's a lot of non-babysitter-related Keith Coogan movies on Prime. Great.
Well, I know, but I'm sorry. You were in two of the most classic 80s movies ever. And, no, my dad didn't thank you because he had to take me in the video still every week for one of them. And then he just finally went out and buy it because he was so, he's like, okay, you cannot pick out both movies. I go, why? It's 99 cents. And he goes, you've seen it like 1,000 times. And I'm like, yes. But Keith is a handsome, sexy guy. He's going to be like getting Academy Award one day. So come on. And so, yes. So that, for me, yeah, I still love those movies. And are you working on anything right now?
Yes. Oddly, as soon as the quarantine and lockdown started, late March, I think April, I worked and helped develop the Quarantine Bunch, which is a group of former child stars that have a support group, but because of the quarantine, they have to go online, and so you can tune in and see these ridiculous meetings. And there's a bunch of episodes on YouTube. And then I worked on a picture called Wrong Reasons with an amazing cast, and that I had to do a lot of COVID testing for that. But thankfully, I was negative on the three tests I took for that project. And that was fun. I believe I'm very smarmy in that. And then Danielle Harris, my sister in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Melissa Crandall. Danielle has a Patreon, and she has a great show where she watches movies with her friends who were in movies, and we watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and they have a shorter version available for free, but if you join Danielle Harris's Patreon, you can see the full, like, two-hour episode as we watch the whole movie together, me and Danielle together, and I had a COVID test for that. So thanks for Danielle. Right when I was worried and I had a lot of allergies and I was worried about COVID, I was thankfully able to get these COVID tests that were paid for by production. So I've been busy during COVID.
Well, I still think to this day, they tried to do a remake of Events of the Baby thing, a remake on Nickelodeon. I didn't watch because you were not in it. I was kind of boycotting the whole thing. But I still think I would love to see you, Elizabeth, I don't know, come back for a second one. And I don't know because I still think, okay, yeah. She ended with going,
I know how fans felt about the Disney Channel original movie version of Adventures in Babysitting. And I do have to admit, I did go to the premiere. It was great fun. It was the 100th Disney Channel original movie. And honestly, was made because the president of the Disney Channel has an 8-year-old daughter. And there's kind of a lot of bad language and kind of an edginess to Adventures in Babysitting. He thought it was fun family film, but when reviewing it, he goes, huh. So he liked loved Adventures of Babysitting, but, did redo it for a younger family experience. And it's its own movie. So give it a chance. There's a lot of parts that if you like about Adventures of Babysitting from 87, then you'll like the new one. And, there's an aesthetic. There's a choice. I don't think the bad guys are as fleshed out or as scary or believable in the newer version, but it is made for a younger audience. And so, take it with a grain of salt. It's not meant to be like the original movie. It's not a remake. It's a new story.
Oh, okay.
It's a new story, and there's new babysitters. There's actually two of them. And it's adorable. You should give it a chance, but I understand how you feel about it. It's tough to look back and remake stuff. Now, as far as Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, they did announce, Warner Brothers has announced, they are looking at redoing that. And they have a crack writer on it, Chuck Hayward. he will be reinterpreting it for today's audiences.
Oh, okay. That is very interesting. You know, because I introduced my nieces to the original Avengers and Babies thing. I made them awesome with me, and they had no choice whatsoever. And my niece Sophie agreed and goes, "Oh my God, he's cute." I'm like, "Yes, I've interviewed him so many times, and I'm friends with him." And goes, and he goes, she's like, "Who are you not friends with in Hollywood?" I'm like, okay, so I know that that could be true. And the other day, I don't know, maybe this is COVID-19, or I'm bored, but The Little House on the Prairie is on every morning from 6 to 11, and people know I don't wake up for it, I just record it, okay? So, you were on the other day, and I'm like thinking, no, the whole thing about you being blind, okay, you did a great job being blind because I actually believed it. You know, I just, believe that. So I, was bossing it, and I was thinking, could I do a redo of the Little House, right? Because everyone is doing a reboot of every TV show right now. But then I thought about the ending of the Little House on the Prairie. If anyone's ever seen the last episode where they blow up the town. So it's like, okay, you can do that. But what I didn't know until COVID-19, because I was watching everything because I was bored, you never told me that you were on growing pains.
I was on growing pains.
I know, but I didn't realize that until I was watching an episode, and I'm like, I go, once again, he's in one of the most iconic 90s show on earth. And how was that experience?
Oh, I really lucked out because it also had Annette Funicello guesting. I think the episode was the Seavers versus the Cleavers. And the 2D uptight parents thought that the Seavers, Mike, and were too hippie to be responsible chaperones at the school dance. And so what was great was I got to play Carol Seaver, Tracy Gold's date, and we were great friends. I was with her father, who was my agent at the time, Harry Gold. And we'd worked together before on Fantasy Island. And, the show was already, had been on for a while, and Growing Pains is already a big hit. I have to admit, I'm a little nervous in front of live audience shows like Mork and Mindy, The Vernon Shirley, Silver Spoons, Growing Pains, and some other of the live shows I've done that are kind of shot in front of an audience. Those make me nervous. I can do theater, and I can do film, and like other TV, like single camera TV, but I still have to work on working in the three-camera sitcom format. But it was super fun, and it was, I've been friends with Jeremy Miller for years. Jeremy Miller is in the Quarantine Bunch on YouTube with us. It's got Danny Pintaro from Who's the Boss, and Judy Norton from The Waltons, Scotty Schwartz from The Toy and Christmas Story, and Dean McDermott, Tori Spelling's husband.
Wow. And Tori Sozus, you were also in that with, but I'm telling you guys, if you haven't seen the movie, you gotta see that one because that is an awesome movie.
Thank you.
And I remember only, I remember when I go to movies, but this in particular, Oscar was on strike. It was you know, it was weird. It was like the weirdest year. Well, I thought 2000. I thought nothing could compare to that year because we had a snowstorm. We had power outage, and then we were on school strike. And we didn't get out until almost the summer with that. And 1991, yeah, that's when everything kind of went down for Washington for that. But my best friend's dad took us to the movies because we were bored. And he's like, fine, I'm taking you guys to Toad Story. I don't care, you guys. I'm like, Keith is in it. Of course we are going. And so another great movie, but it was perfect because it was like almost we were not supposed to be doing this because technically if we were in school, there was no way we could have gone. So like the school strike was a safe us. And I love that movie. And I need to see it again really soon. I haven't seen it in a while. But, okay, so you've been hosting, or you were hosted, the call seat on Skid Radio.
Oh. Yeah, Skid Radio's radio, the call sheet. And I did that for a year, so I did about 50 hours, very hard. And so after doing that, I have to applaud you. The hardest thing I found was scheduling guests and producing the show. And so, you know, you do a great job of networking and reaching out to people. I reached out to my kind of inner circle of friends, and then I quickly ran out of guests, and I found it too hard or intimidating to ask people. So good for you for, you know, continuing to do your show.
Okay,
but it was fun.
Usually, being 11 years in, I don't have to really get guests anymore since, you know, I usually talk to an actor and then they talk to their friends and then I give them on that way now, which is really simple for me. So when you were on the show, it said you were kind of talking about entertainment and tech news and politics. This is why I'm asking you the question. Okay. Did last week for you, did you feel like it was a week that you did not sleep from us? Because I did not sleep last week. From Tuesday night to Saturday morning, I probably got 4 hours sleep per night because I kept thinking... I'm like, okay, if they break the news and I want to come on air, and I waited and waited and waited, and then by the time the news came out Saturday, I was too tired to come on air because I've been waiting. But how do you feel about the election, and how do you feel with in yourself the winner? I mean, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy, and I wish someone would concede by now. But how do you feel about it?
I feel bad. I know it's really affected. My wife has been really torn up by it, like, you know, worried and affecting sleep, kind of in the same way. Me, of course, I'm concerned and following the news, but I always have, and I read a broad spectrum of really everything that you can read online. I'm a very fast reader. And I would say that my level of concern is the same. It's every day because I have always kind of kept up and kept track of politics and technical stuff. I like studied some computer programming stuff, and so I have been very curious and I'm insatiable in terms of consuming what everybody else is feeling about the election and the news. but I am also I'm certainly hesitant to really throw, you know, my bone into the thing. I voted, and I just want people to understand that it's important every time there's a vote, every Senate vote, every local city council, every judgeship that's up, every time you're voting on a proposition, those stakes are just as high all the time. So really that means is I live in a constant state of anxiety, and I have been for decades, ever since I voted in 88, I think was the first time I voted. And so anytime I look at politics, I think I mentioned this the last time we talked. If you look at the root of the word politics, it's pole. It's like the North and South pole, or a positive and negative pole, like a magnet.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like
you're true.
So politics is the most extreme of the left, the most extreme of the right, and you try to find the middle. So do you know what the Latin word for middle is?
No.
Media.
Of course. Okay, that makes sense now. And, yeah, no, I agree with you that every election, people should go out and vote. But I failed. Like, I don't know, maybe the same way your wife did. Well, we bet on you the full year of a nightmare. And, yeah, I was scared coming into Tuesday night. I will be honest, when the numbers were not looking great in our favor, and there was a bunch of swear words, I can't say on here, that I was saying to myself. And then when it was tuning around for, you know, and then when he wasn't conceding, and he's still not. No, he's too busy playing golf. That's when I got mad. Now I'm mad because I'm like, okay, if anyone else tried to pull this, Keith, you and I both know, if anyone else tried to pull this in America, they would be castrated or burned at the stake or whatever.
Well,
it's
happened twice in our past. You know, there's no legal reason that anyone needs to make a concession. There's no law or rule saying that anyone needs to make a concession speech. What it is a handy function be able to let all of the campaigns and all of the supporters and the people that voted for someone to know that they can go ahead and put the banner down. I'm giving up. I'm not conceding. Now, don't forget, prior to the election, everybody was recommending to both candidates, do not concede. It's going to be close. It's going to be contested. I remember Hillary was telling Biden, do not concede under any circumstances. And obviously, there's people telling Trump the same thing. So I wasn't surprised when something like that happened, because I was aware that it has happened in the past. We're waiting until the votes give their certification. Nobody's certified the election yet. So I, you know, and we waited like 30 something days for the Al Gore Bush thing. Just everybody have patience, relax. It's a slow process. We don't elect and then put somebody in overnight. It takes, you know, November, December, and then January. It takes a couple months. And it's going to be okay. Whatever happens, it's going to be okay.
I know, but I still think that when you have enough numbers, as Biden does, and you have, you know, he's, you know, thank goodness that, you know, the FBI or whoever made Biden and the Hillary team get the security stuff today. I mean, and it took a week for that. It was just like, okay, you know, yeah, you think Obama was really happy the next day when Trump won to give him everything? No, but he did. So is this, to me, a crazy time in America, and, you know, I think with, I mean,
true.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised, like you said.
I know, but there's, I know it's scary, but there's the law, and just wait, the Budget Accountability Office can release funds when each state has certified the vote, and they have the electors, and they meet, and then that's when the process legally starts. So I know there's been a custom for that to happen, and I think people are pretty upset that that custom isn't being followed in this situation.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, right now, yeah, we have the election, you know, done, you know, in a way. But, I mean, now we have COVID cases going back up. Seattle, Washington, I mean, we were the first ones. Yay. So, yeah, I've been literally, I haven't gotten anywhere since February 28th. I'm like, no vacation for me. I'm not a happy camper. And I thought it was going to, you know, turn around, you know, soon. But no, we just got another 30 days. Which Dixon just thrown at us this yesterday. And I'm like, this is not, you know, I know it's going to take a while before it's over, but I told the boys, the moment COVID is over, I'm taking a vacation. I'm turning off my cell phone. I'm not going to tell anyone where I'm going. because I'm like, so with you, so how are you doing Thanksgiving and Christmas? Because my mom sent this big family text yesterday and said Thanksgiving and Christmas is officially canceled. And so with that, I can sleep in. I'm not going to complain on that one. But how do you, what are you guys going to do?
I don't know. My city, my county, and my state all have different conflicting recommendations on what to do regarding Thanksgiving. All of them really forbid me from doing anything that I want to do. I'd like to see my mom, and I know that Pinky would love to see her family. I don't know. That's up in the air. I guess they said that our governor said something about we have to behave and then we'll be allowed to go out again and see our families. So I don't know. I'm just trying to behave.
Keep behaving is not fun. I've been behaving since February 28th. It's not fun, but I know it's safer. But I still believe that we should be supporting the restaurant, even if we have to order it out, because a lot of restaurants are going down because of this. So, yeah, and I better bring, oh my God, okay. See, I never watch the time on here, but I better bring on David and Bobby, even though I don't want to, just because it's you. You know, but
Melissa,
since, you know, I have to bring on the boys because...
Okay. But listen, don't let that stuff get to you.
If I don't,
then you're not going to sleep.
Then, you know, I don't know what David... David, are you here?
Yes. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Okay, David, you did a really good job. You... out of the doghouse, at least for this week.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know.
Would you tell her not to stress out so much? It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. but I'm an 80s kid. I love all 80s movies. And do you have a favorite movie you have to go to? Like, do you have a go-to movie? Do you have a favorite movie you'd like to go to and watch over and over again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, dozens of them. And some of them really stupid.
Which
I love.
Movie too.
Yeah, like Idiocracy or Kingpin or just stupid, silly, fun movies. are very comforting to me.
Me too. I'm into classics, like black and white movies, horror movies, thrillers, like that. So I'm into that. So, yeah, but I'm a big 80s buff. Now they show you Little House episode a million times a day. Little House. What's your favorite? What's your favorite movie working on that show for Little House on Perry? They show episode all the time. I can watch it over and over again.
What was that? What was the question?
The Little House episode. Do you have a favorite memory from doing that episode? Little House episode.
From that one series or from other shows?
The Little House on Perry.
Little House episode
all the time.
Oh yeah, Little House. I grew up in the same neighborhood as the twins, as Rachel and Robin, or Lindsay and Sydney Greenbush, and also Melissa Gilbert. And I knew Peanut, and I had auditioned for it a couple of times and did it. I didn't get to play around with a lot of the Little House kids because it was the blind school. And it was rough. It was a rough week. It was crying and pretending to be blind, and it was not a fun, upbeat episode or show by any stretch of the imagination. When you do the Waltons or the Little House on the Prairie, you know it's going to be kind of a bummer of a week. But yeah, being a kid, you get most of the more fun storylines, so it was still fun as a kid to do those shows.
I mean, but, yeah, I'm a big Little House fan. I think I watched the episode a million times. It's so good. You were great in it.
Now, I will say that I did not do my own singing in the episode.
I'm shocked, kid.
Yeah, I lip synced over a recording of another kid that had sung the song.
Yeah, man. And your grandfather, Jack Coogan, do you have a favorite memory of him? Because, I mean, he was a great actor. Jack Coogan, do you have a great favorite memory of him? Jack Coogan.
Oh, yeah. Great actor, great war hero. Humanitarian. He raised millions of dollars for the Armenian the orphans and the Armenian genocide with the Near East Relief, and a family man. And he has I'm his grandkid, and my brother has a kid. I don't know. He's had married Betty Grable. Been through, you know, has the labor law named after him. And after doing the kid with Charlie Chaplin and, you know, a career that arced up and down, he had a great comeback with Uncle Fester on the Addams Family. And so I was aware with Hollywood what Hollywood does to somebody, or that, you know, and it wasn't just, oh, my grandfather had been on TV once or twice. He was, you know, a bona fide movie star and TV star. So his insight was always very important to me when I was doing my own work in Hollywood.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was on Brave Man twice. I know one episode, but I knew he was doing twice. I know. I'm on one episode. I knew he was doing twice. He was on Brave Man. He's on it twice.
Oh, yeah, he was on twice. They were trying to build a park, and I think they went and tried to ask him to sign a petition.
Yeah, that's what that plot on the court one, the court case one, when he crashed.
Oh, yeah, evil, lying, parking accident guy, and then with the neck brace. Everybody's favorite person to hate when they were kids growing up.
No, yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you coming out.
Thank you, and take care of yourself.
I will be in deep doo-doo if I don't say that next Monday. We are having David's birthday show at 5. So if you want to call in and say happy birthday, we are doing a Monday birthday show, so I decided to let you know that. And David, I'm going to bring on Bobby. Okay.
All right.
Okay,
well,
Bobby.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Have a good one.
Yeah,
hey,
Bobby.
Hey, Keith. Hey, Keith. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just I know that Parry mentioned earlier how you was on Growing Pains back in the day, and you worked with Melissa Gull. I'm thinking of her sister that was on Benson. Her sister Tracy. I'm thinking of Melissa Gull because she was on Benson, and I got the two sisters mixed up. Anyways, Tracy Gold back then. You get a chance to work, and I know you met Kirk Cameron, but did you ever get a chance to work with Kirk's sister on Full House or the reboot?
I think I did work with Missy Gold on something, and I had auditioned for the Kirk Cameron role in Growing Pains. And it was tough auditions. And those producers were really nice. So when you do one of those shows, then you do, I did Just the Ten of Us, which is the spinoff to Growing Pains too.
Right. It was on for a short time. I do remember that, but I know that, and this was, of course, years before Leonardo DiCaprio did that 1 year before he took off as a big star, right?
Who? What?
Leonardo DiCaprio, because he was on Growing Pains during the last season, and this was years before that, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, anyways, and you worked with Tracy Gold. What was that like?
Oh, she's great. She's totally like just a dear friend. I have great respect for her. Mm-hmm. Still friends with her and her husband. And totally fun to work on that. You know, most of my teams were with Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get a chance to communicate with her when? Did you ever get a chance to communicate with her when she was having her eating disorder issues that became a problem to the point she left Growing Pains to get treatment?
Oh, I'm sure I did, but I think she kept that stuff pretty private, so I never really discussed that with her. Yeah.
Right.
It's tough
when
you're on, it was something my grandfather warned, is that, everybody likes to have kind of like a private life, but then you have to do that kind of in public. And, if there's a trade-off or if anybody could say, I know the upside could be at times easy money, but it's also easy money for everybody around the actor, the agent, the manager, the publicist, the trainer, the acting coach, the stylist, all of that stuff. There's a lot of people invested in each kind of performer. And I was very lucky that when I did like Chips or Love Boat or Fantasy Island, I was young enough as a kid to not know anything about any politics or behind the scenes shenanigans. It was fun because it was like a lot of adults working on the show and the crew and most of the cast. And then as a kid, you see these shows that you like, that you like Knight Rider and stuff. And then you get to go on and play around the sets. And of course there's a big responsibility. You have to, be a okay actor, I guess. But I was very lucky. I did a lot of those guest appearances in the 70s, 80s, 90s, the thousands to today. And I love it. I love it if door guy number two or stoner number three, or if I'm, having to carry more of the picture. It's always fun working in, film or TV, always.
Right. Now you was on Growing Pains, which was Kirk Cameron's show. Were you on Kansas Cameron's show, Full House, or the recent reboot?
No, I didn't get a chance to get on Full House or Step by Step.
No.
But was friends with Candace because Candace was around on the set of Growing Pains.
And she became a big star in her own right on Full House with the Olsen twins back then.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was great to chat with you, and I hope you have a great holiday, and hopefully I wish for the best in 2021 that you'll get back into some form of acting or some
sort
of gig.
Oh, God, please. Yes,
oh,
Bobby.
Yeah.
Yes, let's get back
every
to
day,
normal.
My phone rings.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm always like, is it my agent? So,
yeah.
Thank you.
And
thank
Keith,
you.
Before you go, got one question. So, why, you know, most fire stars end up in prison on drugs or something, but you manage to outbeat the, you know, the curse of being a fired actor in the Teen Heartthrob. I don't care if you don't see. Now when you were in Teen Beat so many times that you were a heartthrob, you just have to live with that. So how did you not fall into that nice trap, but how do you not go down that way?
I had really strong support from my family, and also a lot of good and bad examples from my peers. So
yeah.
I could very quickly see what behaviors got a network show and what behaviors land yourself in prison. It's very easy to see that and track it. And I chose to stay out of prison. And, you know, I'm not a goody two-shoes by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think that a goody two-shoe person is very interesting. And I do like to play a lot of, like, interesting characters. I think people and humans are very fallible and funny. We're all very geeky. And so I've decided to kind of live my life like that. I'm kind of a nerd, so I was definitely picked on in the 80s and in school. I did go to public school, which helped balance out the, you know, being on a movie set and then you go back to public school. And also I grew up in a neighborhood where a lot of people's parents were in the business and already stars and had Oscars. So they didn't care. They didn't treat me different because I was on TV, because they're father just got nominated for an Academy Award. They're like, so what you're on Little House on the Prairie, you know, my father directed it. So it was very like the perspective was very different, because you still see the same stars have to go to the store and they have to buy groceries and they have to put gas in their car just like everybody else.
It's just good when they don't go down that path, because, you know, but I still, you know, I always say a prayer for you, especially because you were on the Little House set, and people who have been on the set end up having cancer, and I don't know, there's this thing in me that's saying that there maybe was something where they were filming that was bad. You know, maybe I'm wrong,
well,
way too much into it.
I don't know. I know that they have things called swing stages, which are stages that they build the guest sets on, like the interior of the blind school. But the main set for the house, I did hear a rumor that they brought dirt in for the kind of exterior, interior part of the set.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there's that John Wayne movie where they brought dirt in from Utah, from the St. George area, and it was like the red earth they'd filmed at. And that was radioactive. I've never heard any conclusive proof of anything like that. I know that, you know, really bad things happen to good people. Connected to that and the Waltons in show business, when there's TV executives and networks and all those kind of politics, but still there's kind of wholesome entertainment like that. And then even after that, there was still, you know, Michael Landon had Highway to Heaven. I can't really think of too many shows that have any sort of faith elements or families to sit down and say a prayer before they have a meal, or even talk about, you know, morals or ethics. And so that, you know, I think that's something that's missing right now, is some more of that kind of voice.
Well, exactly. But I know David said half an hour, and I know you know, you will be back for my birthday show in June. And I know David wants you to at least call in next week and say happy birthday. Oh, I might not hear the end of it because, I don't know, I'm not that lucky this year. So, yeah, I would not hear the end of it. So, yeah, but thank you so much for coming on and have a nice night. And you're so lucky you're living in California because right now it's windy and raining. And winds here are supposed to be up to 80 hour per winds tonight in Seattle. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting. Okay. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, sorry about that. I meant to ask I meant to ask Keith when he was working on Little House, since he worked with Michael Landon, did he get a chance to meet a very young back when Jennifer Landon was just a baby, he got a chance to meet Jennifer Landon.
Well, I mean, with Little House, too.
There was a moment going on
even 10 years ago. That there was something in the land. Because anyone I've looked up that passed away from Little House has died from some kind of cancer.
I know.
You know,
and,
so
and,
it's...
if I can make a quick suggestion here, if you can bring
Michael Landon, but...
If you can bring
things, and I want to say, David, I am so happy with you right now.
Thank you.
I will say it publicly. You did a good thing.
If I can follow with my wins and thing for Matt Carley and David, you can probably help me on this too. If you can.
On Thursday, there's no way we can make the interview an hour early. We'd stuck at the 5 o'clock time, David.
But yeah, December do that 5 early.
Well, no, because the Seahawks are playing at 5 when we go on. So, no, I mean, it's fine. How long is that interview?
Oh, interview's a half hour. Excuse me.
Okay, so, Bobby, we will be done by the end of the fifth quarter.
Okay.
You know.
All right. And can I make a suggestion going back to the Michael Landon thing for a minute? It would be great to get his daughter Jennifer on to talk more about what you just were referring to, what Keith was referring to just now, and as far as the rumors and everything else right now, because I know she's been made herself into a big star thanks to being on three different soaps in the last 20 years and winning 3 Emmys on As the World Turns. So it would be great to see if we can reach her publicist or if David can do that and see if we can get her on.
Who again? And you, Jennifer
Landon, Michael Landon's daughter.
She was on
Young and Restless for a while and she was on As World Turns for a long time.
And since we are on the rest of the week, and all I gotta say is about the rest of the week, it's gonna be fun. But I will keep you guys updated on Washington weather. Because right now I'm hearing the wind blow and the storm is just coming. And, okay, I will say this out loud. for anyone, Carly hates stones. Carly doesn't like the fact that the P word could go out, and I don't know what I would do. There goes everything in my house, and I won't have anything to do. So I'm asking both of you a pray that it doesn't happen to me. It can happen to everyone around me, that's fine. But it's just not me. And so, yeah,
okay,
let's just show here. And, and Lindsey Graham, I want you fired along with Donald Trump. You just toss some electric bells away. Come on. Come on. You yelled at Hillary Clinton for whatever, but now you just did what you did? No. This is not appropriate at all. Right, Bobby?
That's right.
Thank you, Bobby. You are learning to...
Before we go off, our governor hadn't had a meeting. I hadn't had a conference meeting at 3 o'clock while General Hospital was on our channel. And when I found out buddy on Facebook that it moved to 3:07 in the morning, I decided to record it anyway. There's no way I'm gonna be up that late to watch all the other shows. So from the end of Jimmy Kimmel to the beginning of the morning news, and just watch the whole thing all night, all day long tomorrow. So thanks a lot, Governor, for putting that show on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I agree. I agree. So all I gotta say is, I like Michael Miller. And, I just kind of fell in love with them the last couple of weeks. And I don't want to ever hear about Neil. I was glad when Neil went over that cliff. I was glad when Neil died. And Carly has nothing to feel guilty for. Like I've said on numerous shows, right, Bobby? That if I was Carly, I would never even looked over the ledge, because I'm scared of, heights. And anyway, go over the ledge, well, I could go over the ledge and die. And help her after what she did? No. No.
And I'm not buying into the fact that she's back from the dead, which I don't believe that one bit. And for sweet little angry to discover that necklace, come on, if this had been Nina.
Okay, I'm so behind.
I can't get up with you right now.
My DVR is not working. I can't record nothing.
David, we are off tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Thank God,
I'm too busy.
I need one day off. Okay, so you guys have a great night. Wash your hands. Go to the bathroom, eat dinner, take a little time and enjoy the view, but if your view is the rain, then don't look at it. Okay, bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Bobby.
Bye.